up, everyone? Thank you for tuning into Tethered, a podcast dedicated to helping followers of Jesus stay connected to Him day by day. My prayer for this episode is that it would encourage you, challenge you, and propel you to abide more deeply in Jesus. I hope you're encouraged by this episode. Let's jump right on in. What's up, everyone? Once again, this is your host, Joey Morales. I really appreciate you listening to episodes here on Tethered. If you've been impacted in any way by these episodes, please subscribe to the podcast to keep up to date on when episodes drop, and please share with your friends and family on social media, however you share things. I would really appreciate it. This is season 2 of the podcast, dedicated to helping you understand your purpose for your life calling, how to stay tethered to Jesus moment by moment, day by day in your life calling, and walking away encouraged to live your life on mission to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. For this episode, I'm going to have a conversation with one of my friends, Elizabeth Sexton, about how she is staying tethered to Jesus to live her life as a hairstylist on mission. Elizabeth was born and raised in the Kansas City area. She was homeschooled. After graduating from high school, she attended cosmetology school. She enjoys spending time with friends and enjoys spending time at small coffee shops. She loves serving the Lord through a young adult ministry called Paradigm in the Kansas City area. She serves on the ministry's Next Steps team every Tuesday. I am excited to have Elizabeth on the podcast to chat about how she lives her life on mission as a hairstylist. Without further ado, here's the conversation I had with Elizabeth. Elizabeth, what is up? It's great to see you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on Tether today. It is amazing to have you on. So yeah, why don't you go ahead and do me a big favor? Go ahead and just share who you are. I got a fun question on here for you. What do you do besides, you know, doing people's hair, and then 3 fun facts about you?
Awesome. Well, what's up, Joey? It's so great to be on the podcast. Like, super excited to see how the Lord will use this. Some things that I do besides hair is I love just spending time in the Word and hanging out with my family. And I love traveling places when I get the opportunity to. And then just serving at Paradigm, that's been a huge blessing in my life recently. And 3 fun facts you might not know is I took piano lessons from age 3 all the way through senior year.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I really enjoy it in my free time. In my room, I have about 20 houseplants.
Nice.
So, yes, love to see the growth in my room. That's always fun. And then the last one is every time I go to a coffee shop, I only get iced coffee. I never drink hot coffee.
Really?
So, yes, even if it's 20 degrees out, you'll see me with my iced latte. So that would be some fun facts about me.
Oh, that's awesome. What do you put, any like type of syrup in your iced coffee, or is it just like?
I do. I always like to try the unique stuff that the small local shops have, like lavender or honey, vanilla, cinnamon.
Ooh, nice.
Yes.
Yes. And which coffee shop is your favorite, Elizabeth? Because the listener needs, like, they hear all these coffee shop recommendations on this podcast. I've recommended Post, Messenger, Frost. I think it's time for someone else to share their opinion about which coffee shop is better.
Boy, that's so tough. Vested is a new one that I've tried recently, and I've been back several times since in Kansas City. So when I go there, I try to visit Vested. That's one of my faves. Or otherwise, Frost is definitely a close second.
Let's go. That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. And dear listener, I can testify to the fact that Elizabeth does have plants in her room. I've seen her posted her on Be Real before. It's actually awesome. That's awesome. And then here's the fun question I have for you, Elizabeth. You work at a beauty, you know, in a hair salon. And so I just have to notice, because I don't know much about shampoo, but I'm just curious to know which brand of shampoo is best and why.
I would say my go-to for pretty much every client is Olaplex. And the reason behind it is a lot of hair brands and shampoos and conditioners, it lays the product on top of your hair and doesn't penetrate inside. But Olaplex uses a technique where the shampoo goes inside your hair, penetrates the cuticle, and helps restore like split ends, damage from color, different things like that. So it really rebuilds your hair shaft as a whole, which I really like about it. So that's my go-to for pretty much every client.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. I've never even heard of this brand. What would you recommend for a guy like me to use to take better care of my hair? If, you know,
I would say American Crew has quite a few different options for men's hairline. But that said, yeah, definitely stay away from the 3-in-1s, even though that's the quick and easy thing. It's nice to have like a shampoo and conditioner separate. So that would be my tip.
I think I might have learned something today, actually. Oops. Maybe not use the 3-in-1s anymore. I'm guilty as charged of using those, but anyways.
Well, that's okay. It's the easy way, so yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Elizabeth, for sharing those fun facts and then answering that fun question. And again, just thank you again for willing to come on the Tethered. It's awesome to have you on. And so, yeah, let's go ahead and get this started. And so why don't you go ahead and share with the listener about your life story. Like, what is your story? How did you come to faith in Jesus? And what was it like for you when you first fully understood the gospel?
Yeah, of course. I'd be honored to do that. Okay, so my story, basically, I grew up in a Christian home. I was super blessed to have parents that believe the word of God and really set an example of what a relationship with Christ looks like. And super fortunate to have that. I think as a kid, I definitely didn't value that as much as I do now. And so I grew up in a church where it was more legalistic based. So really focused on a lot of rules and skirts only for ladies, hymn based. There were like movie theaters. That wasn't really a big thing that we did. And really that kind of set in my childhood this kind of false belief of I have to live a certain life in performance-based Christianity where like I have to do good works, I have to do this or that in order to come to Christ. So that kind of shifted my view like as a child, and I had heard the gospel so many times, but living that perfect Christian girl life was really what I thought it was all about. So whenever I went to a camp when I was 11, that's when my eyes were really open to what the gospel truly was, and that God sent his perfect son, Jesus, to come down to die the criminal's death so that I could have that way to God. And that Jesus is the mediator that comes between me and God, and he made that way. And there's nothing that I could do that would save me, but it's only through what Christ did. So then going into the next year, I could really see the spiritual warfare picking up. I'd made Christ my savior of my life, but not yet my Lord. I hadn't like seen the distinction between that. And so whenever I turned 12, I think it was around that time, our church had a missions conference, and they had a really sweet family that came. They had a teenage son, a teenage daughter that was my age, and then another boy that was my brother's age. So it worked out. Our families really clicked. And during that missions conference, we exchanged emails. And over the next like year, we were just messaging on email. And that relationship with the teenage son on email got kind of out of control. And he was the one who introduced me to sex, which really shifted my view of who I found my own identity in. And then also just like who God was to me. And before I was living that quote-unquote perfect Christian girl life, trying to look good on the outside but not realizing that like my relationship isn't defined by what I do. And so in that, I really found myself like spiraling into this confessing stage and then going right back to my sin, confessing stage and going right back to my sin, and just a cycle of ridiculousness that really wasn't ending anywhere. And so I just remember like crying and just like asking the Lord to save me over and over again, but then going right back to it. And one of the biggest blessings, like by God's grace, was my Sunday school teacher. Her name was Janice. She's like spiritual warfare lady. She is just the strongest prayer warrior, and just I love her so much. But we started meeting then right about sixth grade every single Monday, and she would just pour into me the truths of God's word. And that's really when I feel like I realized who Jesus was and why I needed him as my Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And she just really told me one thing that always stuck with me was God makes us needy sometimes so that we need him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, like that's really when it hit me. Like when I was at my rock bottom, Christ was there. Mm-hmm. And when I felt like nobody else was, and when I felt that shame and guilt of this is what I've done and no one's going to understand and I'm going to be in so much trouble and God's judgment, it's fearing God, but also realizing that when I ask for forgiveness, he's faithful and just to forgive me of that sin.
Amen.
And that is really when I was like, wow, like viewing Christ in such a different way and how freeing that felt. So before I really battled with people pleasing and perfectionism and really purity, but now understanding that he's strong in my weakness and it's nothing that what I do that saves me, but it's what he's done. And now I'm a new creation in him, because I've given my life to him. And so, yeah, that's basically my story of how once I was wrecked and now redeemed, pulled out of blindness into redemption. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Elizabeth, for sharing your story on the podcast. And thank you for being real and just being, you know, vulnerable and sharing what your experiences were, but also just being able to, you know, showcase how worthy Christ is to you. Yes. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing your story. You know, dear listener, me and Elizabeth have known each other for actually 2 years now as we're recording this podcast. We used to work together at Chick-fil-A, and that's when I first met her. And so I've gotten a chance to hear snippets of your story before, Elizabeth, but I mean, today's really the first time I've ever like heard your full testimony. And so that's awesome that the Lord has, you know, he's not just a savior to you, but he's your Lord, and he's mm-hmm. worthy because he died for your sin. He's redeemed you as his daughter, and now yes. you get to walk with him day by day, moment by moment. So that's awesome. Thanks yes. for sharing.
Of course. And one of my verses that I remember, like, really when I first got into the word, like the word got into me, and this was that scenario, was Ephesians 2:10, and 8 and 9 are also like very well written for my testimony as well. But it says, for we are not, or goodness, by grace we've been saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest we should boast. But then the next verse was really the one that grabbed my attention. It says, for we are Christ's masterpieces created in Christ Jesus to do the good works he planned for us long ago. So even though like I did fall into sin and I did like really fall into the shame of guilt, God had already knew that was going to happen and saved me even still. And now I can give him all the praise and honor, seeing how he's changed my life. So I really like that verse as well.
Amen. I love that verse too. Thanks for sharing that. Alrighty. Well, Elizabeth, thank you again for, you know, being real. And I just want to move on to now this next segment of our, you know, discussion here. And so what I know about you is that you work in a hair salon, and so you get a chance to do that as a living. And so I just wanted to take time just to know what caused you to develop an interest in hairstyling. Like, what made that like your choice, like life calling or career?
Yeah, actually, it's crazy. Ninth grade, freshman year, I went to that same camp that I really saw Jesus at. I was going to the senior camp this year, and they had little classes that there's like a karate class you could take and you would just sign up for.
Oh,
a
nice.
Craft class, like a bunch of different classes, and one of the options was a braiding class. So I remember taking that, and I was like, oh, this is really fun. And then the following year when I went to camp, many of the girls didn't know how to braid, so they would ask me to do their hair. And I was like, I really like this. And that was kind of something that sparked my interest in hair. But then also just with getting to know so many people in the hair industry, I've always loved like getting to know people. So both of those things and just being able to share the gospel in an open place where people are sitting in your chair for hours. Like you can have so many conversations with them within that time. So those were some of the main reasons that I just started to get an interest in hairstyling. So
yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. That's awesome. What was the process like for you when you were studying to become a hairstylist? I know like last year or 2021, actually, you were in that process of becoming a hairstylist by going through cosmetology school. So what was that like for you?
So basically, you signed up for schooling, and it was an 11-month program. So the first 3 months were basically just classroom training. They taught you how to do perms, highlighting, color, relaxers. And then we would have our teacher demonstrate, and then we would all practice for hours. Nice. So yeah, it was just 5 days a week, and Monday and Sunday were our days off. And then the rest of that time in school, after the 3 months, we were out on the floor just doing people's hair that was willing to let newbies like me or rookies practice on them. So that was basically like the whole entire schooling year was just learning and then practicing what we were taught. So,
yeah, was it difficult for you to go through that process?
It definitely, I feel like a lot of things in life just take a lot of practice. And so like the first time you have to realize like you're not going to be the best hairstylist day one, but just like consistent practice and determination and like discipline that like maybe day one, it's not going to be the easiest, but the more you do it, it will be. So in a sense, yes, but also the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Isn't that the same thing with like living your faith out too?
Oh, yes.
It's like you take those small baby steps and, you know, you grow in those specific areas of your walk. And it sounds like with your role in, you know, hairstyling, you've had to learn how to do those things slowly and slowly.
Yes.
And so that's awesome that, you know, that process was, you know, it was hard, but it sounds like the more you did it, the more you were able to get better at it.
Exactly. Yes.
That's awesome. All righty. Well, that's really all I had as far as like, you know, what made you want to go into hairstyling. And so let's talk about your current hairstyling roles. So, dear listeners, so I get a chance to kind of see Elizabeth's work on Instagram. Like, she does a lot of hair for a lot of women and even guys too. I've seen you post like pictures of guys getting a haircut, looking good. And so what does your job in hairstyling look like day by day?
So crazy enough, day by day, it looks different every day, which is one thing that I really like about it. It's not really like that office job where you're doing the same exact thing every day. One day might be full of haircuts, the next might be color, the next might be waxing, or you might get a mixture of all three of those. So that's the nice thing, is every day it looks different. But basically clock in, look at my clients for the day and kind of see like what we're doing. And then in and out, just clients come in. And then in between that time, it's like spending time in the Word or else learning new techniques for hair, or just like cleaning and making sure if state board comes in that you have everything ready. So that's typically my day by day of what I'll do.
Awesome. And have you got a chance to do like some, you know, fun hairstyling? Like, as you've been working for, you work for beauty brands. I know.
Yes.
Like how, like, has there been any like cool hairstyling you've been able to do?
There's actually been a couple of ladies that come in for their wedding hair or like baby shower events or like bigger things like that, which is super cool that you get to be like a small part of that. But then there's also like really colorful hair and you like spend hours lightening it. And then you like double process. So you'll rinse it, blow dry, and then put the color on. So yeah, there's a lot at Beauty Brands and a lot of different opportunities day by day for what you'll see in your chair.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Like for me personally, like, you know, I obviously don't have all that stuff done to my hair. I mean, I got pretty, I mean, long hair for a guy. I mean, for me, I just have it cut and that's it.
Right.
but sounds like for women, they do all sorts of things to their hair, making it look really nice and beautiful. And it sounds like you enjoy what you do, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's been so great.
Awesome. So, dear listener, if you want to go see Elizabeth at her place, if it's all right with you, Elizabeth, can I send them like your Instagram? If you're local,
for sure.
Kansas City, of course. But if you're in a different city, if you ever come visit Kansas City, you should go check her out. Like, she does a phenomenal job. I got to see some of her work on Instagram. But yeah. Now, what are some challenges, Elizabeth, that you've encountered while working your job? We'll be back after a brief break. Hey, what's up, everyone? We really appreciate you listening to episodes here on Tethered. If you've been impacted in any way by these episodes, please subscribe to the podcast to keep up to date on when episodes drop. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, will you please consider rating this podcast in your favorite podcasting app? Please leave us a comment. Finally, please share this podcast with your friends and family on social media or however you share things. We would really appreciate it. Thank you for listening to Tethered. Now back to the episode.
I would say like one of the biggest is like what to do during your downtime, because not all the time you'll be fully booked, especially like right off the bat, you'll have like a couple gaps or even like a full day of like no clients. So you kind of have to be disciplined and like, okay, what am I going to do in my downtime? So that's definitely been probably the biggest challenge, but also just like filling that with either time in the Word and growing my relationship with the Lord, or else like sharing him with others. Or online education has been a big one, just like learning new techniques, because that's the thing about hair is there's always something more to learn. Or deep cleaning, that's another one.
Yep, I know what that's like.
Yes, but yeah, I would say like downtime is definitely like a hard challenge to face.
I bet it probably opens up opportunities for you as well to be able to like, you know, talk about the Lord with some of your your teammates there at Beauty Brands. That's awesome. Cool. Now, what are some of the things that you enjoy most about working as a hairstylist and why?
I feel like one of the biggest blessings like about my job is just the people in and out of my chair. And I just love getting to know more about people and just their own stories. And then also being able to share my story. And it's just been like, what a cool opportunity that the Lord's given me to see people all day long and to be able to like share his name to others. So that's probably like one of my favorite things for sure.
Yeah. Which leads me actually to this next section about, you know, what you do as a hairstylist, what opportunities you get. And that is to be able to share your faith, like you were saying, with the clients that you get a chance to comb their hair, do their highlights, wash it, do all that stuff. And so I know, like, you personally, like, I've gotten a chance to witness you bring people to church from, like, looks like it was some coworkers, and then, so what has it been like for you to share your faith in the workplace, both with clients and coworkers?
I feel like, as a whole, the whole experience has just been super incredible, just to see how God has been moving in people's lives, and in through me as well. And just super humbling to see how God could use a sinner like me to accomplish his perfect plan. And I feel like it's just such an honor and privilege every single day just to go in knowing like he's worthy of me sharing. And it's like not even a big deal just for me to lose my comfort maybe a little bit. It's not like there's persecution, but it's just my comfort that I'm sacrificing and how like he's worthy of that. So yeah, definitely just the humbling fact of how God could use me in those people's lives.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. How would you describe the spiritual climate in your workplace?
Man, I would say a lot of my coworkers are kind of like one foot in and one foot out, living both, I don't know, kind of like a hypocritical life maybe of they're kind of in it. They're like wanting to learn more, but also loving their sin as well. So that is definitely like the climate I feel like in Beauty Brands.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that's tough because it's like they're really not certain of whether to be fully committed to Christ or not. And, mm-hmm. you know, something that I think about when you mention that, there's a passage in Revelation that Jesus shares with the church in Laodicea that I think about. And it's honestly, like, for me, like, one of the most scariest passages in the scripture, because it's one of those few places that the Lord is just very honest about if you're fully committed or not. And this is what it says in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And this is what it says. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Like, that is, that's like, you might want to make a decision if you're willing to commit to Christ, because, like, you're either in or you're not. And it sounds like for you, Elizabeth, you're wanting to show your coworkers, it's like, I know what it means to have life in Christ. I know what it means to taste and see that He is good. I know what it's like to be able to be in a relationship with the Good Shepherd. And so, like, you're really wanting to show them, like, guys, you're lukewarm, or, like, if they say they're believers, and if they're not, mm-hmm. it's like, guys, you're cold, like, and you're wanting to show, like, Christ is worthy, and I don't want Him to spit you out of His mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just a scary passage, but at the same time, it, you know, this is awesome that you're there to be able to be a light to your coworkers, because Jesus Himself is the light of the world, and He's been able to show you His light, and now as a result, you can be able to show that to them as well, so they can be able to be in a place where they're neither hot nor cold. They can be hot.
Like,
right. If that makes sense. And so what would you say, like, for you personally, like, as you're witnessing your spiritual climate, like, what's one way that the Lord has been able to use you in your workplace to be able to share your faith? Like,
I feel like one big thing is just sharing my story. And that's something even our pastor Phil has talked about, of, like, they can doubt your God and they can doubt what the scripture says, but they can't doubt your personal experience and your story. And just like how the Lord's changed your life. And it's crazy because, just like I was saying, they were kind of like a hot and cold kind of Christianity living. I have related to that in my past too. And I can use that as well, just to share, like, this is where I was, but this is who I am now because of Christ. So that's been like a huge way, like, the Lord has been able to use me, is just by my story.
Amen. Amen. And dear listener, if you've heard the episode in the first season called Now I See with my friend Nick Pearson, we talk about why it's important to share your story, because God has uniquely given us our stories in order to be able to share with people that incorporates the gospel beautifully. And also, you're able to use that to show people, like, my life has been changed by Jesus. Like, this is who I once was. And because of Christ, this is now who I am. And just like I shared about in that episode regarding, like, the blind man, like, he was able to encounter Jesus as a result of him having his eye washed with mud, and he's able to actually see. And then also he's been able to testify about Jesus to the Sanhedrin. And then from there, he's able to worship God as a result. And so, like Elizabeth was saying, like, if you're ever in a situation where you're able to share the gospel with people, whether you work in a hairstyling place or not, the important thing is here, like, you share your faith wherever you are. Like, your story does matter. And you also go back to reflect on your story to show what God has done. It's healthy for you to look back and to show, like, hey, this is who I once was, but this is now who I am. I've grown so much. Thank you, Lord, for changing my life. And people will see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people will see that. And Elizabeth is an amazing example of that at her workplace. So that's awesome that that's your story, Elizabeth. And so, All right, here's my next question for you. What motivates you to share the gospel with your coworkers? You kind of already hinted at it, but maybe if you wanted to add something to that.
Yeah, I would say like a big motivator is just like my purpose in life, and that what I found through reading in the Word. And that's like the fact that we're literally made to know Him and to make Him known, and that He's with us and goes before us, and He's worthy of that. One of the verses, I remember this like it was yesterday. I was sitting in the break room, and really a lot of doubts came in my mind, and the enemy was trying to get in my head about, well, they might see you as different if you say something, or I don't know if you should do it now. It's kind of a weird moment. But I was reading in Exodus chapter 4 in verse 10, and it says, "But Moses pleaded with the Lord, 'Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled.' Then the Lord asked Moses, 'Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say.'" And I remember sitting there after reading that, and I was like, wow, like the Lord delivered. He totally gave me just what I needed in that moment. And right after that, I was like, I need to share the gospel. So that was a huge motivator of like, you don't have to know enough or feel like you don't know enough, because if you have Jesus and you've made Him your Lord and Savior, you already have what you need to share. So that I would say was like a huge motivator for me.
Amen. Amen. I love that you said that, because like, and I love that you quoted from Exodus there, because it's just so easy for, you know, the believer to think that he's not qualified to be able to share his or her faith, because, and I've shared this before on this podcast, where people like feel like they have to be like what I like to call big time Christians, meaning like you have to be like Christian celebrities in order to share your faith, or you have to be a pastor or a missionary or even a seminary student. But if you look at the Old Testament or even like stories in the New Testament, like the Lord uses like the most like unexpected people to carry out His will and purposes. And you see that over and over and over. Like He wants to use the weak. He wants to use the ones that are not strong. He wants to use the ones that are, you know, not famous. And not saying that the Lord doesn't use people that are influenced, but the Lord is very good about using ordinary means to bring about His promises, His will and purposes. And so just like you were saying, like I was looking up Jeremiah here actually, and I love what Jeremiah says here, here in chapter 1, verse 4. "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations.' And then I said, 'Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I'm a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, being Israel, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord.' Then the Lord stretched out His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put your words in my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you to this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.'" And that is just a beautiful thing. Like the Lord wants to use you, dear listener. Like, let's say if you work in a hairstyling place, a hair salon, like the Lord wants to use you there. If you work in a barber shop, the Lord wants to use you. Because there are people that work in those places or come sit in those chairs to get their hair cut and, you know, want to look good. And yet they may have a story or may have a life that's not fulfilling at all. And you get a chance to share that hope with them. I know for me personally, like my barber, Bobby, at Chris Cuts, shout out to him, by the way. Like he does a really good job of checking up with me. It's like, "Joey, how's life been?" And I've been able to share about what I do with crew. And he always asks me, like, hey, how's ministry been going for you? He himself is a Christian, but he gets the chance to share the gospel with his clients as they come in. And it's just really awesome to just watch him do that with every one of his clients, that he just wants to instill that they have a purpose for their lives, and that's to know God and to make him known. And so I'm glad that you're doing that, Elizabeth. Like, you know, you're young and you get a chance to be that example for your clients and your coworkers. And so just like Jeremiah, it's like you have the words of the Lord in you by staying tethered to Jesus day by day, moment by moment, which we'll get to that here next. But like, it's just awesome that the Lord is using you to be able to build and to plant those seeds.
And that's something cool, too. It reminded me of a quote when you're reading in Jeremiah, but it was saying often the Lord doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you might not like feel like you know enough or there is enough. But even Acts 1:8 talks about how you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Mm-hmm. Really living in that and like realizing that and realizing like God is with you. He is going before you and he's in it with you. You're not alone. That alone is just mind-blowing and will help you so much in sharing your faith, I feel like.
Amen. Amen. Here's my next question to you. Yeah. How do you stay tethered to Jesus in your personal life?
Yes, my two biggest things is just like praying to the Lord constantly talking with him. Actually, this year it was really cool. I was able to start a prayer wall, and it's just been incredible just to see like what the Lord's done through that and just seeing all the ways that he's answered prayers. So praying constantly with him and then also just staying in the word and abiding in scripture, and also asking questions and not being scared to like read the text and be like, okay, what does this stand for? Kind of who is this? Or what is this characteristic of God that I want to know more? So knowing the Lord more through the word and also just seeking him out in prayer. I remember a quote that said, like, prayer is the portal to the unseen spiritual world. And we are literally...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We have the King of Kings at our convenience whenever we want to go to him in prayer. But I think we often, like, abuse that or don't see it as great as it is. But just really realizing, like, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, is at our access any time of day. And really dwelling in, like... how am I going to bring him into this situation through prayer? And also like including him, not just at the start of your day, but like all throughout it. So yes.
Yeah. That moment by moment, day by day abiding. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. This question is not on the script, but I'm curious to know, like, as a result of staying tethered to Jesus, how does that cause you to live your life on mission as you work at Beauty Brands? Like, what does that fuel you to do?
I feel like the more I'm in the word, the more like confident I am in sharing my faith, because realizing like he is with me after reading the words of Jesus, even like in John 1, it talks about how the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Mm-hmm. We're literally reading Jesus's words before we go out and speak and share him. And that just like motivates me even more to live as he lived and live the life that he's called me to.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. All right. Here's my next question for you. Let's say there's someone that's listening to this episode or this podcast, and they're aspiring to be a hairstylist. Let's say if they want to either cut women's hair, do things with women's hair, or cut men's hair. What would you say to the listener who may be an aspiring hairstylist or currently a hairstylist as well, who wants to grow in their personal relationship with Jesus? What would you say to them?
I would say, just from personal experience, like, don't live your Christian walk alone. That is something that I tried to do for so long, but constantly kept falling back into sin because there was no accountability. So like get in the local church and get community and discipleship to build you up in your faith, and have someone there right alongside you that will be pushing you towards Christ.
That's awesome. Yeah. It sounds like it's been a common theme in these episodes that I've done, because you're like the third person that I've talked to on this season two on mission about the importance of community. And yeah. So I know that you're in a community group. How's that been for you personally, being part of that community group?
It's been amazing. It's just so awesome every week to just be challenged by like how we can grow closer in our walk with Christ, what we're learning currently with him, and then how we can serve others, and just talking that through every single week of like, what is that looking like in your life? And just that accountability that's there every single week, and just being open and honest with them about where you are at in life and how your relationship with Christ is going. So it's been so awesome and so uplifting every single week just to go. And you feel so fulfilled after you leave. It's just such a cool feeling.
That's awesome. Yes. Thanks for sharing that. All right, next question. And we're almost done here, actually, too. What encouraging words would you give to hairstylists who feel discouraged in their workplace?
I would say, like, from personal experience, just with not having very many clients or just struggling with that kind of a thing, find someone in your life that you look up to that's a hairstylist, or maybe your own hairstylist, and ask for advice and kind of seek that out. Find a mentor that's been through those same things but has also seen the other side of it, and really just like talk to them about where you're feeling discouraged and how maybe they got through that whenever they went through school or went through those same things. I feel like that was something that really helped me.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's actually really encouraging to hear that, you know, to seek mentorship. That's another thing too that I know like can help someone like grow in their faith and stay tethered to Jesus is finding that older person that can come alongside them to encourage them, to point them back like, hey, this role that you're doing, you know, it has a purpose. Like your God is going to use this for your own good and for the good of others. And so I love that you said that. And then here's my last question for you, Elizabeth. What would you say to the listener who works or is studying, or knows someone that works or is studying to hairstyling, on how to stay tethered to Jesus practically?
Yes, I would definitely say just constantly go back to the Word, spend time with Jesus in that, and then also pray to him as much as you would like talk to your friend, because he is your friend, he's your Lord, and he knows where you're at in life and wants the best for you. And I was reading today, actually, this is in Matthew, but it was talking about how Jesus cared for the birds, so how much more would he care for you? And just like always going back to prayer and in the Word. And that can either be through the SOAP method of writing down like the scripture and journaling through that, the observation you make about the text, the application, and prayer. Or even if you do like a book study of like, okay, I'm going through Matthew, how does that look? And just taking notes on that. Just spending time in the Word with the Lord and also in prayer with the Lord are definitely like some of the best ways to stay tethered to Jesus practically.
Amen. Amen. You know what? I love what you said there too. It's just like what you said, engaging with the Lord in prayer and engaging with the Lord in, you know, in his Word, because it's just so important for, you know, anyone listening to this. Like, it's so easy to allow the world to dictate what we believe in. And so something that I love is in the book of Hebrews, we're reminded, and this is for anyone that works in hairstyling, but also in any career field too, like, it's easy to succumb to the temptations of this world. It's easy to fall into the ideals. But in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, the author just gave this big supremacy of, like, this big statement of who Jesus is. Like, he's supreme. He is the radiance of the glory of God. And he's giving a warning, but also an encouragement to the person reading this letter. And this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. For this reason, we must pay close attention to what we have heard, so we do not drift away from it. And so what essentially the author of Hebrews is saying there, we must keep our eye and attention on Jesus, because it's so easy for us to look to other things, to even look to worldly success. I mean, like, hairstyling is a awesome job to do. Get a chance to, you know, work on people's hair. You get a chance to be able to talk about the gospel. You get to have those conversations. But it's always a reminder for the believer, like, don't lose heart. Don't lose your sight of Jesus, because he is the one that we must always consider, must think deeply about, especially as we live our days. And I think it's easy for us to forget that Jesus, just like what you were saying, he is with us, he is for us, and he loves us so much that he doesn't want us to go astray. He wants us to stay fully focused on him. And so I really appreciate you sharing that. And so, yeah, I wanted to ask you if you had anything else that you wanted to share with the listeners that might be listening to this about how, you know, you live your life on mission as a hairstylist.
Man, I feel like the only other thing I would add is really when you're communicating with your coworkers or building those relationships with your clients, just remember to value others and love them where they are, and then die to yourself as a result of that, so you can share the gospel better that way. And just remembering, like, the value that God has for the sparrows, but also how he has it for every single person.
Yeah, amen. And then I wanted to share this too, that I just actually pulled up here in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. And this is actually the verse that Jesus gives when he's sharing from the scroll of Isaiah in the synagogue in Nazareth. And it's something that, you know, even ties into the theme of this episode, about hairstylists being on mission for Jesus. And this is what it says in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes.
Yes.
Think about that for a minute. To give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, or you could say beauty from ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And this is talking about Jesus. Like, Jesus wants to give you beauty from your ashes, because a lot of you that might be listening to this may feel like you're a bunch of ashes, but the Lord has come to give, you know, beauty as a result, if you just turn to him, if you acknowledge that, one, that you are a sinner, but also embrace the love and mercy that God has on you. And so I just wanted to conclude with that, because it's, you know, so easy for us to forget who Jesus is. And this verse from Isaiah just shows, like, he is the one that's been anointed by God the Father in order to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to give those who mourn in Zion beauty from ashes.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Elizabeth, again for coming on to this podcast. And again, I really appreciate you taking time. And so on the next episode, we're going to be having a conversation with two managers from a restaurant that is known for serving quite some delicious chicken. And so we're going to be talking about how they live their life on mission as restaurant workers. And so stay tuned for that. And thank you again for tuning in. And we will see you next time. Have a blessed day. Thank you for listening to Tether. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and family. Please also tap the subscribe button to receive notifications when new episodes are published. You can also follow Tethered on Instagram by clicking on the link in the episode notes. Hope this episode has encouraged you, built you up, and blessed you. To God be the glory. See you next time. God bless.